been an amazing week. I can't think of a better one than a week that's been all about Jesus. The theme for our revival services, what a beautiful name. That song always gets me. I still can't hear it and not cry. And I've heard it a lot. I've enjoyed this week. I have gained an even greater and higher respect for ministers of the gospel, Pastor. I never did a series of services. I discovered quickly the enemy never leaves you alone. Messes with your mind and works through people, and you really get no rest. It is indeed exhausting. But I've enjoyed it, and I'd do it all over again. Perhaps sometime the Lord will bless me with the opportunity. I thank you each one for coming out tonight. And before we begin, if you'll stand in honor of the Lord and in honor of his word, written, spoken, and received, we'll ask his blessing upon it. Kind and gracious and loving Heavenly Father, I thank you once again for our time together here tonight. I thank you once again, Lord, for each one of these that you have given me to enjoy this time with and given us to one another to enjoy this time with, Lord. It's not easy, Heavenly Father, to break free of our busy lives and make it to church by 7 o'clock in the evening. It's difficult, Lord. It's quite a chore for any one of us, for sure. And I just thank you for these, dear Lord, that found a way to make it happen again here tonight. And I thank you for our time that we're about to enjoy together. And I thank you, Lord, for your word, powerful and precious and true and useful more today even than ever before. I ask your blessing, Heavenly Father, upon me tonight. I can accomplish nothing of myself with everlasting meaning, Lord. I need you for sure and certain. Always touch my stammering tongue, Heavenly Father, and open our hearts to receive, Lord, mine as well. I receive together with these that I minister to and that you minister to through me, dear Lord. Bless us with your revelating spirit, that your word might be made real and might be made alive in our hearts, that we can go forth and demonstrate it in our lives, Heavenly Father, to the lost and dying souls in the world around us and to everybody that we encounter in life each and every day, dear Lord. Let them see you in us, Heavenly Father. Help us to be all about Jesus every day that we live and breathe in this world, Heavenly Father, that we might glorify and honor you in our lives, in our words, in our actions, in our deeds, Heavenly Father. And I just thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your greatness and your kindness and your presence with us here again tonight, as you promised always when we're gathered in your name. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. No particular passage of scripture tonight for the message. You may be seated. I will be referring to different passages, but as I move along, our week has indeed been a beautiful one, not just because of the beautiful message titles, but we began with a beautiful journey, which was a reflection on, or meant to be a reflection on, our lives in Christ that brought us to this moment in time. And then we moved on to a beautiful sight that was really meant to help us to strive to have a beautiful sight. Help us to strive, help us to make it our passion and our desire to see the world and humanity through the eyes of Christ. And then we moved on to beautiful worship. And boy, what can I even say or add on to that? We had that all week. It was beautiful and an amazing, amazing week of worship. And I have to think of my own messages. Last night, A Beautiful Heart was the message title last night, and it was meant to cause us to strive and try to achieve that beautiful heart that Jesus had that just drew and drew everybody to him like a magnet. And he was certainly the master. He's our master in every way for sure and certain. But his ability to interact with people, especially those that needed salvation of their souls, was just phenomenal. And it's something that I hope we can all accomplish and achieve to a much higher degree as we move on in our lives in Christ. And tonight's message will be my favorite one, so perhaps it won't be yours, because I discovered, and Pastor, perhaps you've experienced this, the ones that you think you bomb the most are the ones that the people like the most. So this happens to be my favorite message of the week, and I certainly have no doubt in my mind it's not going to be a bomb, so perhaps you won't like it as well as some of those that I thought I'd done poorly. But nevertheless, I hope you can gather much from it. The title is A Beautiful Exchange. All week, our theme has been, it's all about Jesus. And all week, I have poured out my heart and soul doing my best imitation of a minister of the gospel in order to try to persuade me and all who hear to join me, every man, woman, and child who has heard these messages throughout the week and again tonight, to join me once and for all and forever hereafter, to join me and embrace all that Jesus is. As marvelous as it is, he has so much more for us. As marvelous as the salvation of our souls is, it is indeed the greatest gift ever given. But he has so much more for us than just the salvation of our souls. In Romans chapter 5, verse 17, it's recorded for us, if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. That's some powerful information right there. Beyond the salvation of our souls, which is great in itself and much to rejoice over, and we can never really get over it, it is indeed the greatest event to ever occur in a human being's life, for sure and certain. But as great and as powerful as it is, God has so much more for us in our lives, if you can even fathom that in your minds, than just the marvelous salvation of our souls. Christians and Church of the Living God, we have done a spectacular job as Christians and as members of Christ Church. We have done a very spectacular job, and there is no denying it, of receiving the greatest gift ever given that brings salvation to a lost and dying soul, to whosoever will receive the free gift of him into our hearts and life. We have done a spectacular job of receiving him as Lord and life in place of death. We've done a spectacular job, so quite understandably, it's such a remarkable gift, and it's just something that you can never get over. You just can't overcome your gratefulness of this marvelous gift of salvation that we receive. And we have been as saved persons, as Christians, we have been so enraptured by this marvelous gift that we have for too long prevented ourselves from receiving the entire and the full magnitude of all that Jesus is and all that Jesus wants to be to us and in us and through us. He is so much more than just our Savior. Christians, fellow believers, Church of the Living God, we are literally to reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Not me or anyone in any space and time could possibly even begin to express all that Jesus is and wants to be in and through us all, because he literally transcends space and time. Time has come, however, and is here. This is it. This is the space and time, and there has never been a time more critical than this moment in time for Christ's church to wholly embrace all that Jesus is, because this is the moment ever closer in time to his coming again, and it's high time for Christ's church to move past the glorious enthrallment of the greatest gift ever given and literally reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Time has come, church, for us to get out of Jesus' way in our lives and in our church and step out of ourselves and let him take us far above and far beyond ourselves, take us on from a beautiful gift that is the salvation of our souls onto a beautiful exchange that literally is an exchange of his life for ours, our lives for his, that takes us on to a salvation so great that indeed we reign in life by this one like no other, this one whose name is above all names, this one Jesus Christ, our Lord and our God. Praise the name of our Lord and our God, for great is his name and greatly he is to be praised. What a beautiful exchange it is indeed. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, it's recorded for us, "For he hath made him," Jesus, "sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." What a beautiful exchange that is. Jesus, who knew no sin, was made sin for us so that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. What a beautiful exchange indeed. And no matter how long I live in this world, I will never be able to get over the glorious salvation of my wretched soul. For once I was lost and alone in this world without hope, but now and forever I'm found. But there is so much more for us, and he has so much more for us. What a beautiful exchange, and what a beautiful name is Jesus. For indeed, as our theme for these services has been, it's all about him. And as our recurring anthem has been, there is no other name more worthy to be honored, and more worthy to be glorified, and more worthy to be praised, and more worthy to be lifted high than the name of Jesus, because there is no other name that encapsulates, there is no other name that encompasses the definition of so many other names and titles as does the wonderful name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus Christ my Lord, he is the bridge. He is the very bridge that spanned the awesome gap, the awesome chasm, the grand canyon of sin that separated mankind from an almighty God and brought us back to an intimate communion with him. Jesus Christ my Lord, he is my help. He is our help always, especially in our greatest times of need, when our human selves are overcome and overwhelmed by whatever it is that we are facing in life. Jesus Christ our Lord, he is the comforter. He is ever there to wrap his loving arms around our grieving and broken spirits during our darkest times of grief. Jesus Christ our Lord, he is our great sacrifice for our sin. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once, one time into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Jesus Christ my Lord, he is my Savior. For once I was lost and alone in this world without hope, but now I am found. Jesus Christ, my Lord, he is my shepherd. He is my Savior, like a shepherd lead us. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and surely mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. There's something about that name, Jesus Christ, my Lord. There is something about that name, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There is no other name more worthy. There is no other name more worthy of honor, more worthy of glory, more worthy of praise, more worthy of magnification. What a beautiful name is the name of Jesus. Name above all names, Counselor, Prince of Peace, Love, Messiah, Emmanuel, Son of God, Lord of all, light unto our path, light unto, lamp unto our feet, the only wise God, the Rose of Sharon, the Star out of Jacob, Bright and Morning Star, Son of the Highest, Light of the World, Great High Priest, Great Physician, God's Anointed, Word of God, Resurrection in the Life, Jesus Christ our King, Chief Cornerstone, Bread of Life, Day Spring, Rabbi, Rock, Master, Teacher, the Vine, Son of Man, Lamb of God, King of Glory, Man of Sorrows, the Second Adam, Seed of the Woman, the Way, the Truth, the Life, Everlasting Father, Lily of the Valley, Heir of all things, Faithful and True, Ancient of Days, Good Shepherd, Mighty God, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the Door, the Head of the Body, Image of the Invisible God, Jesus, 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 the Author and the Finisher of our faith, and as powerful and as all-encompassing as this repertory of Jesus is, it only names a minute part of all the endless definitions of the wonderful names and the wonderful titles that Jesus' name encapsulates. In fact, John the Apostle expressed at the completion of his gospel writing that if all would be written that could be written of Jesus, all the world could not contain the books that should be written. It's all about Jesus. It's never been about us. It's always been all about Jesus. And there is no other name, because there is no other name that encapsulates the definition of so many other beautiful names and meaningful titles. It's all about Jesus, and there is no other name more worthy to be honored, glorified, magnified, and lifted up high than the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. And this reality issues an absolutely monumental challenge to every one of us who has received him as Lord and Savior personally. And this issues an absolutely monumental challenge to all of us collectively as members of this church, this particular body of believers. And this truth, this reality of all that Jesus is, issues an absolutely monumental challenge to all of us as members of the church worldwide, the greatest institution on earth ever to be established, that was built upon the rock of his blessed revelating spirit, real and alive, dwelling in the very heart of whosoever will believe on him and accept and receive him as Lord and Savior. All that Jesus is, all that Jesus is about, issues an absolutely monumental challenge to all of us collectively as his church, because of the beautiful exchange that transpired as a result of Jesus' life and sacrificial death and amazing resurrection and ascension to the Father. What a beautiful exchange it was indeed. Everyone who has ever or shall ever accept Christ as Lord and Savior can never really get over the beautiful exchange that transpires, because that Christ became the propitiation for our sins. He paid the penalty for our sins. He took our place. God hath made him to be sin for us. He who knew no sin, that we might be made the wonderful and glorious righteousness of God in him. And a more beautiful exchange of any sort indeed has never before or since occurred. Christ. And anyone who has ever or shall ever accept Christ as Lord and Savior and experience the marvelous beauty of such a magnificent exchange never really can get over it. It will always be to us as Christians so awe-inspiring, so mind-boggling that anyone would do such a thing for us. For a sinner such as I, and such as we are, it is so inspiring that quite naturally we can never get over it. We can never overcome the gratitude that we feel towards our Lord and our God, so much so that somehow the very wonder of our salvation that we quite naturally feel and can never get over or take for granted is the very obstacle that prevents Christians by large majority and prevents the church by large majority from experiencing the immense magnitude of all that the beautiful exchange entails. What a beautiful exchange indeed. He, Jesus, gave his life on a cruel cross for our sins. Hence, when we receive him, we receive the very salvation of our souls. And as wonder-filled as this truly is, and as much as it is far more, as much as it is far more than sinful humanity deserved, when we accept Christ, God's only begotten Son, as our Lord and Savior, it is only part of the beautiful exchange. Indeed, God has so much more for us than just the salvation of our lost souls. If you can wrap your minds around such an awesome truth. And this is the aspect of our salvation that is so greatly misunderstood and so badly mispracticed by Christians and by Christ's church. We somehow, enthralled by his goodness and what he done for us, miss the whole big, full, and entire picture. Christ literally laid down his life for us. No one took it from him. He could have called 10,000 angels to spare him the agony of that cross. He could have called 10,000 angels after they nailed him to it to take himself down from that cruel cross. He could have called 10,000 angels to enact vengeance on his perpetrators. But he did not. Rather, he endured the agony of the cross. He endured the forsaking of the Father. He endured death and hell in the grave willingly. He laid down his life for us so that we might take it up. That is the beauty of the exchange beyond the salvation of our lost souls. He laid down his life that we might take it up, his life for ours. He laid down his life, and we in turn, when we accept him, are to lay down our lives to take up his. We lay down our lives to take on his life. That is the very definition of Christianity, to be Christ-like, because we lay down our lives as he did Our lives essentially lay side by side with Christ at the moment of our salvation, and we essentially are to leave our lives behind, leave our lives lay, and come away from that glorious moment in any human, the greatest moment in any human's existence. We are to come away from that forever thereafter, bearing and living the life of Christ. What a beautiful exchange. This beautiful exchange issues a monumental challenge to us as Christians and as a body of believers at this church. And it issues a monumental challenge to us as members in particular of the church worldwide that was built upon the rock of his very life, his blessed revelating spirit, real and alive and dwelling in the heart of all who receive him as Lord and Savior. My dearly beloved family in Christ, we have a lot of work to do as Christians that we have not been doing. My dearly beloved in Christ, as members in particular of Christ's church worldwide, we have a lot of work to do that we have not been doing, and God has a lot of work to do in and through us that he has not been able to accomplish, because we as Christians have been living our lives all about Jesus our way instead of living our lives all about Jesus. This week has been, or has I had meant it to be, a serious and deep evaluation of ourselves as Christians individually and as the church. And as I finish this message, I'm going to make the rest of this message my altar call. You come as I speak, and I wholly expect the seats to empty and this altar to fill up. Because if you're not ready now, church, to get out of Jesus' way and let him have his way in your heart and in your life, if you're not ready now, church, to be all that he wants to be and let him do all that he wants to do in your heart and in your life, if you're not ready now, church, to fix this thing and these many things that we discussed throughout the week, if you're not ready now, just thinking back to last night's message, to figure out a way that we can fill the empty seats in this church, if you're not ready now to say what we're doing is not working very well, I don't know when you'll be ready. As I finish this message, let my words be your call. God has more for us in our Christian lives than just the salvation of our souls. And if you want more of what he has for you, empty those seats and come to this altar and stand before him, and we'll ask him and receive. God has more for us in our Christian lives than just the salvation of our souls. He wants to be contagious in us to everyone that we come in contact with in life. He has more for us in our lives. He has more for us in our church. He has more for us in our worship services than just a quiet but sure gratefulness for the salvation of our souls and a quiet heart and spirit when we're touched and when we're overcome and when we're overwhelmed by his wonderful goodness. God has much more work to do in our individual lives in Christ and in our lives collectively as the church, locally and worldwide. And sadly, we haven't given him much to work with because of the framework we've built around our lives in Christ by living them all about Jesus our way. Well, we often say this is the way that we've always done it. Well, we often say we like this way. It's familiar to us. It's tradition to us. We often say we don't like we often say we don't like this and we don't like that. The church has made it our business to tell and to express to the lost and dying world everything we stand against, so much so that we forget to tell them or represent to them what we stand for, Jesus Christ our Lord. In order to reach people for Christ that no one is reaching, we have to do things that no one is doing. And we all can say as Christians individually and collectively as the church that we have much work yet to do. What we have been selling to the lost and the dying souls in the world around us, they're not buying. Christianity and church has become unattractive to the world of lost souls around us. God is ready and he's been waiting for us. He's ready and he's been waiting to take us to greater heights. He's been waiting to take us to greater achievements. He's been waiting to take us to higher and higher levels of accomplishment for Christ to the world and humanity all around us. When will we be ready? Are you ready tonight, church? It's not complicated. It won't hurt. It won't be painful. And it won't fix you in an instance. We're still going to leave this place and we're still going to be part as how we can be enamoring personalities to the lost and dying souls around us in the world when we leave this place. But it begins with a commitment. It begins with a confession. It begins with a moment in time where you walk to the front of a church and stand at an altar and say, Lord, I don't know what all you might be able to do through me, someone such as me, but I'm ready, Lord, to do what you have for me to do. I'm ready, Lord, to be what you have for me to be. I don't know how I'll do it, but the most beautiful thing about that, the most beautiful thing about our insecure fear is the reality that it's not about us. It's all about him. It's all about Jesus. It's never been about us. You want to reach the lost and dying souls in the world around you. You don't have to be special. You can be a dumb old logger, a lumberjack that you've seen this week as a demonstration that it's not about us. It's all about him. God is ready and he's been waiting for a people that are ready to live their lives in faith outside of and beyond themselves. A people that are ready and willing to live our lives all about Jesus rather than all about Jesus our way, what's comfortable to us and what we're used to. Our wonderful Lord, he did the harder part in a most beautiful exchange. He did the hard part, people. Come on. He had the tough job. It our part's easy. He had the harder part, and our wonderful Lord did that harder part in a beautiful exchange, and he laid down his life for us. Now let us finally do our part in the exchange and lay our lives down for him in exchange for his life and live the rest of our lives in Christ with our eyes wide open and all about Jesus. Empty those seats, people. Just come and stand before him. I know we can't fix this thing in an instant. I know we can't fill those pews just like that at the snap of our fingers. I know that we can't be enamoring personalities to every lost and dying soul that we reach and that we encounter in life, but it begins with a commitment. It begins with a choice to say, I'm ready, Lord, to do my part in this most beautiful exchange. You did the harder part. You lay down your life for me. You suffered and you bled and you died on a cruel cross. You had the hard part. All I have to do is the easy part and lay my life down beside yours and pick up your life and go out into the world and be a demonstration for you to the lost and dying souls around me in life. It's really not complicated. We may not be spectacular at it, and we may have failed for a long, long time as church, and we may have failed for a long, long time as Christians. The evidence is all around us by the empty seats. The evidence is all around us because they're not knocking on our doors and beating on our doors to get in, and we are not going to fix it it in an instant, but it begins right here with a choice and a commitment to say, I've been in your way, Lord. I have been guilty of designing Christianity and church around myself and what I want it to be. I have been guilty of not being willing to do what's not being done to reach those that the church isn't reaching. Come make this moment in time the moment in time that you move beyond the sheer beauty of the salvation of your soul to make it the very desire of your heart and your constant prayer to see the world and humanity around you through the eyes of Christ with a compassionate heart and a burning desire to represent Him to everyone that we encounter in life. Pastor, if you can come and stand with me. These revival services have been all about Jesus, and I don't want to take a thing away from that. But the Lord impressed on my heart to dedicate these services to my pastor, who I love and I know you all love. He's been guilty, and we've all been guilty of standing in the way of what God wants to do in our lives and in our church. And I present nothing to my pastor because I accomplish nothing but what the Lord did through me. And I wanted my pastor to stand here beside me and have the privilege to see a people that are ready to make a conscience effort to fix this thing. Revival is coming to the church. Whether St. Thomas likes it or not, revival is coming to the church. And I didn't want to be left out. I want St. Thomas to be a part of that revival because it's coming. I didn't want to have to leave here to go find it somewhere else. I want to be a part of it. And Pastor, I present nothing to you. But open your eyes and see what our wonderful Lord presents to you. A people ready to move beyond themselves. A people ready to be more pliable in His hands. And my voice is gone, Pastor. If you'll say a prayer for us all that will somehow, some way, we'll right this ship, we'll turn this thing around, even if it starts in baby steps. Baby, you know, that's how a lot of things start, you know. We can't just take giant leaps every time, Pastor. Say a prayer for yourself and for us all that we can move forward in this thing and be all that God wants and needs us to be.
Hallelujah. Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for what stirring that's already in our hearts here tonight, Lord. Let this just be a very beginning, Lord, that as it was advertised many years and it was placed in the book, Lord, that we want to be a light on the hill. Then, Lord, we need to let this light shine. Lord, let it not just be a flicker, but let it shine forth, that they men may see the wonderful things, Lord, that you're wanting to desire to do in this community, and let it start here with us. Let it start with me. Lord, let the revival start with me and with these that are here in our presence. And Lord, just let it begin, Lord. Let it begin, Lord. And let it not just start here, but let it spread out throughout this whole community. Lord, you know that so many need you. So many people here in this community need you in their hearts and in their lives. I was with them today, Lord, and I just seen such need for you to work in their lives. And Lord, you've given many people some wonderful and precious gifts, but the devil's come in and he's taken them and he's derailed these people when they should be working for you, Lord. And so I rebuke any work of Satan that has tried to take and steal. He has come to steal, but Lord, no more. No more. Father, Lord Jesus, no more. Let these gifts rise up within each and every one of these, Lord. Let these gifts be used for you, for your kingdom, for your glory, Lord, to bring many unto you, Lord, that this place may be filled. Lord Jesus, reasons, Lord, for this place to be here, and these seats are available, and now it's time, Lord, for them to be filled. But Lord Jesus, it only will happen as it begins in our hearts and in our lives. So Lord, let this revival begin here and now, and let it go forth throughout, Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. 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 Precious Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Could we close with no other name?
We're going to do our anthem one more time. I'll be so disappointed if we don't.
Hallelujah.
Anyone that wants to stay up front, you're welcome. And anybody that wants to return to your seats, please do so. Let's one more time. Sing together what's been our anthem for the week. There is no other name, indeed.
Hallelujah.
There's no other name more beautiful and more wonderful.